I am just the worst because of this.
So at that point, I was rock bottom.
It's impossible. There's no way.
Because for a long time, I was always blaming myself. Like, this is all my fault. I started this.
And just had
this.
The mindset of, like, I'm never going to overcome this, you know? Like, I was giving in and letting Satan beat me into the ground.
The terrible kid who has to go to porn. Like, I failed. Like, I got to the point.
I ended up losing a really horrible battle.
It's really in that moment that you're at that rock bottom stage that you have a fork in the road and you are forced to choose.
And I chose to fight, and I choose to fight today, and I'll choose to fight tomorrow because winning is worth it.
I just feel like the man right now.
Born fighting for my life, man, and now I fight to live. I don't just fight to live, dude, I fight to live the best life I can.
You're going to recover from this.
And if I can do this, you can do it.
It's like the start of a race, and that adrenaline's pumping, and you're like, let's go. Let's get going, because today, I change. And nothing, not even the armies of hell themselves, will stop me.
I am a warrior.
I'm a provider, presider, protector.
Satan is our enemy.
You're not alone.
Whatever
and
it
I fight
takes.
With fury.
Let's go.
We will win this war. Don't mess with us.
Do-do-do. Yes. Do-do-do.
The Eternal Warrior podcast, helping young people in their quest for self-mastery in the war against, sharing stories from the battlefront.
Ooh.
In the war against Satan and pornography.
Ooh. That was a close one.
That was close.
In the war.
The war. I had a mission companion once that he wouldn't say, like, oh, this water's warm. He said, warm.
Arm?
Yeah, but also, take the M off. It's not war. Well, I guess it is if you do what I just said.
Right.
World War 3? No. World War Warm 3? I don't know why I'm saying World War 3. That's not happening. Just COVID-19.
Guys, welcome back.
Welcome back.
What a great week here on the Eternal Warrior podcast.
And mommies, we hope you had a wonderful Mother's Day.
Yes, and warriors, we hope that you celebrated thine mothers because you wouldn't be here without them.
No. Not physically, neither physically nor in the fight.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. And man, Sister Broadhead, dude. Oh. Maybe I should stop calling her Sister Broadhead because she was like, you're the only one that calls me Sister Broadhead.
I love that you call her Sister Broadhead.
I know. I don't know. From the very beginning, it's because I met her in a church building and we were giving like a fifth Sunday lesson and she was Sister Broadhead. So, but man, I have sent Sister Broadhead's episode to many individuals in my life because she talked about so many awesome principles and things that can not only just apply to mothers but to anyone about my biggest
thing, like a supporting role, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And my biggest takeaway from what she was talking about is how to set beautiful and realistic, helpful boundaries.
Yeah,
totally. And it was powerful for her to mention what's their business is theirs.
Yes.
I'm going to help in their business as much as I can. I'm going to support. I'm going to encourage. But theirs is theirs. I've got my own business to attend to.
And also, like, not getting so caught up in the Lord's business. Of like why he does what he does and why things are the way they are. Because at the end of the day, it's out of your hands and it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it's not my business. It's their business, the person I'm supporting. And I can't take ownership for their actions. You know, I think one thing that really resonated with me with what she said that like I could totally think of like my mom too is like, Satan tries to for moms to take ownership of the challenge. Not just moms, but everybody afflicted of like, man, this is your fault. Had you been a better mom or had you been a better dad or a better sibling, better friend, better spouse, that this wouldn't have happened.
Yep.
You know, and she was just like, no, man, like yeah, it sucks that this is happening and we're dealing with it, but I don't have to take ownership for it.
Correct. No. And she mentioned specifically for women that Satan attacks women differently than Satan attacks men. And how he attacks women is you've got to do it all. You've got to be it all. You've got to save everyone and be helpful and serve everyone and do everything perfectly. Or if not, you're not good enough. You're not what you need to be. You need to, like, it's just this constant shame game, I feel like, with women and men. It's not like women, but the way that she pointed that out was also very, very intriguing to me.
Yeah, totally. Totally, man. But man, she just laid it out though.
Freaking
love Karen Broadhead.
She's amazing.
She's amazing. And any of you guys that have had a chance to meet Sister Broadhead through your recovery experience, like you know, you can totally testify that what you hear is what you get. Yep. She is exactly the same yesterday, today, and forever of how much she cares for the people in her life.
Yeah.
And we're just so humbled to have her part of our community.
Yeah. And if you are listening to this and you are a mother, reach out to her.
And listen to the Mothers Who Know podcast.
Listen to the Mothers Who Know podcast. And if you are a warrior and you're like, gosh, I want my mom or the women in my life to understand Mothers Who Know and to have them listen to Sister Broadhead's episode, because, man, there's some powerful stuff in there.
And remember what the sons of Helaman said in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Do not doubt our mothers knew it, meaning their testimony. They knew the score. They knew that what they were doing was the work of the Lord. And that's what Mothers Who Know in our program are. We don't doubt. They know it. They know how to support and how to help you. Yeah. So.
Good stuff.
Shifting gears.
Yeah, we got a killer episode today. Kind of a part two.
Mm-hmm.
A part two to some same-sex attraction topic.
Mm-hmm.
And another powerful warrior that has dealt with same-sex attraction. And man, can't wait for you guys to hear from our man, Colin.
Oh, he's awesome.
A boss.
Oh, yes. A boss he is. And we're going to hear from him here in just a sec. But we have a dear friend of ours who has a message to share with us beforehand.
So happy you're listening to the Eternal Warrior Podcast. There's not a week that goes by where a warrior hasn't shared how the Eternal Warrior Podcast has helped them win a battle. My name is Cody Hawes, and I'm a licensed therapist who helps those dealing with sexual addiction, betrayal trauma, trauma in general, marital recovery, and mental illness. Over the years, I've gathered resources to help those who desperately want to get to a better place. If you feel you're in need, please reach out to me by calling 385-519-6089 to set up an initial assessment. Once again, 385-519-6089. God bless you on your journey, my friend, and keep listening to Wes and Spenny. And remember, if you're doing things like listening to the Eternal Warrior Podcast, you're increasing your power and resilience. Remember the power you feel while you listen to Wes and Spenny, and replicate it daily by going and doing the things they share. You got this.
Cody, what inspired words?
Always. Always inspiring from our boy, C. Hawes. Seriously, guys, if at any time during today's episode or you know, maybe it strikes you tomorrow while you're walking around or whatever, and you need a little bit more support, please reach out to us at podcast@lifechangingservices.org. Head to lifechangingservices.org and find a counselor near you that can help you. Cody's awesome. You know, he helped both Spence and I get on the right track, but there's an entire stable of incredibly capable men and women that help people get on the right track and start their path to recovery.
Speaking of incredible men, an incredible man.
Mm.
We've got one right here in the hot seat today. Oh, Colin, dude, thank you so much for being here and welcome to the Eternal Warrior Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity.
Happy to have you, man. Dude. Colin wrote into us and kind of had an interesting experience with his, you know, battle with pornography, and we couldn't keep him secret. We want you guys to hear his incredible story and his inspiring words as well. So, Colin, tell us a little bit about yourself, man.
Start with the bassoon, dude.
Yeah, we got to start there. So, right now I am a music major studying at Snow College. I am studying music education and bassoon performance. So I play with the orchestra, the band. That's my life. It's lots of practicing, lots of work, and in a little isolated town that's just awesome.
And you're an even.
How much does a bassoon weigh?
It's not too heavy. It just depends on the material. I've got a nice wood one that the school bought last year. Maybe 10 pounds.
What?
They not look so made of heart, though. Like, this is a weapon of sorts.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a bazooka. So.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, if you held it up, like if you tilted it up, dude, you've got yourself a bazooka, right?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that's so cool. Awesome. And you've been, I would assume you've just been playing music since a little lad?
Yeah, I started at 5 on piano and then switched over to bassoon in 7th grade and have been playing since. I've actually been involved in a lot of music, marching-wise.
Oh, cool.
Really?
I'm the head student leader for a independent organization called the Battalion Drum and Bugle Corps. So I serve as their conductor and student leader and work a lot with kids that way. So it's a great opportunity.
That is amazing.
I want to meet a 12-year-old 7th grade Colin is like, you know what? Piano's okay, but I really feel like the bassoon is my calling. I mean, how many 7th graders even know that the bassoon exists?
Right. Very few.
I love that. I've always like equated the bassoon with the grandfather from Peter and the Wolf.
Oh yeah.
I love that.
Iconic.
Dude, that's so
cool, man.
That's super, super cool. And you mentioned before we started recording that you'll probably go on to teach music or help others, you know, with music. What does that look like?
That's the plan. So I'm finishing up my bachelor's. I've still got a couple years there. But then I'm going into a master's to study conducting. And then from there, I'll try to get a gig teaching a big high school so I can spread the joy that is music to as many kids as possible.
What's that movie with Dreyfuss? What's his that's his last name.
Holland's Opus, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Holland's Opus, dude. That's
you. Mr. Dreyfuss. Oh, yeah.
That's going to be you, my man. I love that movie. And like that idea of bringing the love of music to young people, game changer, dude. So good for you. That's awesome. Yeah.
Thanks.
It's Eternal Warrior Podcast, helping young people in their quest for musical.
And bassoon
education. Yes. Awesome. So let's shift gears, Colin.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your history with pornography and how it's affected you.
Yeah, so the youngest I remember being introduced to pornography and masturbation was about 11. So the pretty standard young age.
Pre-bassoon age.
Yeah, yep. But a lot of it was kind of born out of the curiosity as my parents were discussing puberty. And for me, that took a little bit of a different turn in that I deal with homosexual attraction. And so it was just this thing where it didn't quite, like, it didn't register in my brain that it was wrong because it's like standard to see shirtless guys all the time, or you go into the locker room and it's like, it feels like, oh, I should be able to do this, right? Which is another one of those satanic lies that he tells you.
Wow.
Or like you're playing basketball with your friends, shirts and skins, right?
Yep. And it's just, it exposes you in a way that nobody but you realizes. And it makes it more consistent because you're like PE, you're constantly with other guys. That's just the setup of how our school system works. And so it made it very difficult and many flashes very quickly. And even as I started, I didn't necessarily realize, especially on the masturbation side, that it was wrong, because I just kind of discovered it out of pure teenage hormonal, it's
curiosity.
It's a normal, normal curiosity.
Yep.
And so, I mean, I was losing like every day for years until I actually discovered the Sons of Helaman back in 2015 on accident. I had a conductor friend, a drum major friend in high school who liked the page, and my parents saw that I liked the page, and so they looked into it, got me the Like Dragons book for my birthday in August, and I joined the group within the month.
At how old were you?
15.
Okay, that's right.
So,
and were your parents aware of your challenges with pornography and your struggles with same sex attraction, things like that?
Yeah. So they caught search results. They caught they caught histories, and so they asked me about it, and I was encouraged to work with my bishop, and I did for a long time, and it just wasn't helping. And then reading through the book, it was like, oh, this makes sense. Even though it's not necessarily all exactly applicable, it still made so much sense and was really helpful. And so from there, after joining the group, I spent about a year. May of 2016, I became a general and have been spent a long time fighting and spent a long time with the group. Great, great program. Shout out to Greg and all the American Fork guys. Really awesome group of guys. And despite not discussing homosexual issues, I was able to be successful and be clean for 2 years. So, overview. From there, I applied for mission, but things fell through. I had a couple other issues as well that made it so I wasn't able to serve right away, and so I started into school, so I wasn't just sitting around. And after that happened, I started losing again, and then the next summer I was just hit with severe depression. First time. I hadn't dealt with mental health when I was fighting before, and so it became a new issue. And since that summer, I've been kind of peaking and dropping with the fight. And so listening to your guys' podcast has been great. I've binged it many times. But yeah,
you've got the fight playlist, and then like you probably pepper in some bassoon right there.
Oh yeah.
we got to get like a jazz bassoon on our next intro.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, it's going to be nice. It's going to be good. Mm-hmm. The whole depression piece, doesn't it add a whole new angle, like a whole new element that,
oh yeah,
you didn't even know is possible or real.
It totally compounds the issue.
Yep. I mean, and especially
flyer. Go ahead.
Yeah. Especially living in an isolated town, Ephraim, and not being able to attend a live group and not being in a financial position to attend an online group, mm-hmm. it spirals really, really fast. Satan's really good at just dragging you down any way he can. He plays dirty.
Yeah. Satan gets mean, dude. He gets mean, and those spirals happen really quick. I had a similar experience up at Utah State, dude, where I just, even though I was surrounded by people, maybe it wasn't quite as isolated as maybe even Ephraim is or would be, but I just felt very alone, very isolated, and that depression really, that's when I first noticed it. So similar similar in that fact. So, yeah. But yeah, I would be curious, what buttons did Satan push when it came to homosexuality and when it came to pornography and masturbation during your journey? What did that look like as you're going through? And we talked about that a little bit before, but I'd be curious to hear more.
Yeah. So let me start off by saying, there are two paths you can take as someone who deals with homosexuality. You can do your best to obey the commandments. And I've met many people who just ignore the marriage should be between a man and a woman part. They agree with all the principles, but they don't fight their sexuality. And that is not the path I chose. I am seeking temple marriage. I'm doing everything I can to become as clean as I can. And so with that perspective, there's a lot of times where Satan will poke at you saying, oh, you're not able to heal, or this is a normal issue. Really great resource. The Putting on the Armor of God book has a section on homosexuality that is incredible. And there's just so much information in there.
I still need to read that book, dang it.
Yeah, I think Janae was all about that book too, her and her stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta read that.
It's good stuff. But in it he talks about how Satan has put a lot of lies into the world. And there are a lot of advocates for gay rights that you want to believe and you just want to give up because that would be so much easier. But it's not worth it. One of the statistics he's got in here, let me find it. It's not coming up quick. It's something like in most gay men in San Francisco have had 500 to 1,000 partners. It's just that extreme where you're just never satisfied. You have that the rush of desire and then it all collapses. It's not a sustainable lifestyle. And so with that, I've chosen recognizing that I'm a son of God to become clean.
I love that. And we know that, like, I think that Satan tells a really powerful lie about this conversation about heterosexuality and homosexuality. Like, things are very binary. And I think, I can only speak from my experience, but like, I think the more that I've met a lot of people from different orientations, that there's actually more of a spectrum of sexuality rather than just straight and gay. And I think, yeah, you know, some people can kind of cross over, or some people maybe, obviously you're probably more oriented toward one pole or the other, but I think that, like, some people have the luxury, like yourself, to fight some of those tendencies, and other people, you know, they realize that maybe they are a little bit more gay than straight than maybe you are, Colin, and they, if they choose to live the gospel, then they're kind of choosing a more celibate lifestyle. But I think that whole idea of choosing to live the gospel when you've got such a different battle than most of our community sees, I think is incredibly admirable and very, very awesome. Just all kinds of bravery there. I love it.
Yeah. And on that spectrum, I actually fall to no physical attraction to women, none. And so it's a challenge. Yeah. But there have been some blessings as well. One of the most powerful things, especially as I attended group, was realizing that a marriage in a temple is not, there's not going to be any lust or objectification of my wife. because that's not there. And that relationship has to be built on truly mutual feelings of love and respect.
Wow. That's beautiful. Something that you you said before too, as you were telling a little bit about, you know, kind of that identity and mentioned being a son of God, right? Yeah. And then it comes back to that, right? That foundational truth that I'm sure Satan has tried to rip from you or from all of us, right? I don't think that's unique to someone that's, you know, homosexual, heterosexual. I think that's going to be his gameplay. How have you been able to kind of fight back on that? And no, I am a son of God. I deal with these things, but I am, when we say I am statements, I am a son of God.
Yep. As part of recovery, my initial recovery in high school, one of the things our group instructor would say a lot is you don't go around introducing yourself as your weaknesses or as your imperfections. You don't walk up to someone and say, "Hi, I'm a broken arm." Just like you don't walk up to someone and say, "Hi, I'm gay." You're not. And so I try to avoid, if you've noticed, and moving forward, I don't say directly, "I am gay," because I'm not gay. I am a son of God. And then from there you recognize, yes, this is something that I deal with. And it probably won't go away permanently until the grave. But there are times where there is hope. During my 2 years of being clean after recovery as a general for 2 years, and I didn't really deal with same gender attraction as much. I didn't have that pull, and there were fewer flashes like normal recovering warriors. And so I felt a lot of blessings in that way. And a lot of that was due to constant prayer and fasting. Like, it took every day, "Please help me take this from me." And he's merciful enough to not take the pain away so we can remember. But he will take away the temptation if you pray and you're doing everything you can. Obviously, start losing again. It's not a permanent recovery because you still have that memory of what it was like to lose. And so you get stuck back in the cycle. But I can attest, as someone who's not attracted to women at all, it is possible to heal from that.
Dude, wow. I absolutely love the way that you treat such identity statements with such care and delicacy.
Yeah.
Like when we say, and my boss at work, I think I've told you guys about this on the podcast before. He's got this big tattoo up here and it says in Hebrew, "I am that I am." And, or I guess the direct translation is, "I am what I seem." And, he taught me once, I love this guy, he's so cool. He taught me once, the two most dangerous words in the English language are "I am," because we are assuming something. We are giving ourselves identity that's a very, very strong, very, very strong power that is reserved for God.
Wow.
You know? So when we say "I am," or when we say "you are," and we're projecting that to somebody else, we're identifying somebody else. It's really, really important and really valuable. And I think, you know, let's take the context of sexual orientation out of it. I think just in recovery, so many people, so many fellow warriors are saying, you know, "I am an addict," or "I am broken," "I am wrong," "I am, you know, a mess." But when we can fix that and say, "I am first and foremost the son or daughter of our Heavenly Father," that's what I am. What I deal with is an entirely different story.
Yep.
You know, regardless of what those challenges are.
Bro, that's powerful, dude. Because the words "I am" is very permanent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It feels very much like there's no change. And that's where the danger comes in, is we don't allow, like Colin has, like you have, Colin, dude. You've allowed the Savior to be actively involved in your life.
Yeah.
When we say I am, we exclude him, right?
Yep.
Say, nope, this is who I am, and there's nothing anybody can do about it.
And as soon as Satan can get you to start saying, I am an addict, I am gay, he has you.
Yes.
And so you've got to break out of that. And it connects with the depression too. That's another part of that. It's Satan's biggest battle, I feel like, or one of his biggest tactics is removing your identity from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because without identity, what do our actions mean anymore? I feel like it kind of takes away the purpose or meaning of choice or being accountable to those choices if there is no identity attached to those. So what does it look like fighting? What does it look like making the choice, right, that you have made and that you continue to make despite dealing with homosexuality, with addiction, with depression? What does the choice look, what does it look like for you to fight despite the things you deal with?
Yeah, so I think it was put best in an article on, I think it's LDS Newsroom, where there's a member of the church who deals with the same issue of homosexuality, where he says, I have to love Christ enough to give up my own human desires to him. I'm sacrificing that part of me because I love him that much. And with the experiences I've had with recovery, I felt that power of the atonement so much that I can't not fight. It's not an option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that, dude. That's incredible.
Dude, love that, bro.
So let me follow that up then. I've got a question for you. For someone who, and we kind of talked about this before we started recording, I wanted to ask you about being in group where maybe the culture and the demographic is much, much more largely heterosexual. How does your group and the guys that you have gone through recovery with, how have they supported you as someone who struggles with homosexuality in their fight?
Yeah. By choice of our group instructor, I did not reveal to my group that I had dealt with homosexuality. But the camaraderie we had, the connections we had, made it so that it was just as powerful as if there was no difference. I mean, connection heals addiction. That is like the motto of our group when I was recovering. And so what that connection made it so there was less temptation. That kind of subdued the sting of the temptation.
Totally makes sense. Yeah. And we've felt that time and time again. Really, we've said that time and time again on the podcast, is the opposite of addiction isn't maybe sobriety. It's connection. It's this feeling of camaraderie and oneness
with God, so, man.
Yes. And I feel like, Colin, I mean, I think it's probably a per basis experience for everyone, you know, whether or not what they're dealing with as far as sexuality goes.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm glad that you brought that up, that you made the choice, that you talked about it with your, you know, with Greg, was it? And I think that's wise, because it could be different for everyone, but you have to probably to weigh, is this going to help my connection or potentially hinder?
Yes. And that's like one of the biggest things, is you come out to someone, and then I've run into this actually multiple times at school, where I have friends who deal with the same thing, and that connection can be toxic or it can just be like lackluster, maybe is a way to say it. Your friends, you connect, but you don't want to connect too much. You kind of hold each other's at arm's length a little bit. And so it's really hard to deal with that, especially when you have another person who is a temptation, like a real person. That's when objectification becomes really dangerous.
Yeah. So that makes sense. You're very wise. I think that's the thing. Would that be your recommendation, I guess, is to, you know, counsel with somebody else, say, what would you recommend as far as my ability to connect genuinely with other people in the fight and not have to deal with that, you know, temptation or that side of it.
Yeah. So finding someone you can really connect with is really important, but being careful about who that is for sure a concern. But you definitely don't want to reserve yourself, because it's very easy to self-hate so quickly because you're fighting your own body. And not letting emotions out can also restrict you in recovery because you're white knuckling.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to externalize, right? You got to be able to
you've got to connect and feel the emotions, but you've got to do it safely.
Ooh.
Well, and your parents and bishop or any trusted friend can help you find someone who you can confide in. And if you're dealing with homosexuality, maybe that is someone of the opposite gender is a very safe bet.
Hey, that's a great point. That's a great point. No, Colin, I think I'm so glad, dude. Thank you so much for being here. Yeah. I just can only imagine people listening to this right now that are dealing with the same thing. They're like, thank you. You know, someone understands or someone gets it. Like,
yeah, so you're not alone.
You're not alone. Oh, Colin, if nothing else, you know, to take that away from this, but, so talk to us about, I mean, you'd mentioned before too, wanted to talk about what does it look like to support a, you know, a warrior who's dealing with homosexuality.
Yeah.
What that look like?
So there are times where, you just need to understand that most that deal with homosexuality, like everybody, we're beating ourselves up about it. And to quote the putting on the armor of God, not every once in a while, but 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's hurting us. And so we're doing the best we can. But that fear of the stigma can really quickly cause someone to go deeper into hating themselves more, especially when you treat them in a way that is not allowing them to recover and connect and to feel the love of Christ.
Wow. That self-hatred, you know, and that when Satan starts pushing those buttons, where else to go but back to addiction and back to some sort of relief, quote unquote, something to alleviate that pain of not being enough or not being,
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Colin.
Oh, yeah.
What is especially heartbreaking about that is you got to fight two stigmas, the stigma of addiction, which we all understand, but the stigma of your sexual orientation as well. And, you know, how are they going to take it if I tell them that I have homosexual feelings, but also that I have a problem with pornography as a result, you know, like that's the double bladed axe. That's hard, man. And like, I totally respect you for being who you are and for fighting for what you want. Like there's a ton of emotion I'm can only imagine that is associated with that. And just, you mentioned you want to talk about dealing with the emotional impact of fighting.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
So during the first part of my recovery, it took me about a year, in high school. And the first half of that was all, I'm just holding everything in and not letting any emotion get through. Mm-hmm. And that just led to white knuckling, like I said earlier. It just becomes toxic. And then eventually you just burst. And I think part of that was the result of my going into a deep depression, was because of that bottling of emotions rather than feeling them, dealing with them, and choosing how to act on them.
Oof. Oof. Yeah, there is an element of how do we're going to experience emotion. We actually were talking about this with another warrior the other day, Wes, talking about emotion being part of life.
Yep.
We can't avoid, like, so when I hear warriors saying like, oh, I got to get out of this level two, like that's good. You know, that's a good thing to be aware of, that you're at a level two, you're feeling emotion, you're frustrated, you're angry, but it's not so much, it's dealing with it in a healthy way. It doesn't mean to avoid it or to shove it down deeper but to deal with it in a healthy way. And that's probably different maybe for everybody.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's what I think, like, cause there's a fine line. Here's the thing. We're all going to experience different levels of brain chemistry. You know, Spence, I think that's what you're alluding to. When we were talking with Jackson about that, you guys haven't met Jackson yet, but he's awesome. And you will soon. But about the chemical scale. And sometimes we get mad at ourselves for being at a level one or a level two. Well, then you're going to be mad at yourself all the time, because that's what life is replete with, is chemical changes, ups and downs. And we're not always going to live at a level zero. The challenge is what do we do when we recognize where we are in the chemical scale? And do we respond, or do we relax? You know what I mean? And so what you outlined there, Colin, is huge, of being able to be proactive in responding in a positive way, regardless of how you're feeling at any given time, and not beating yourself up about how you feel at a given time. It's okay.
Yeah. Like even the homosexual feelings for you, they are normal. They are
totally,
they're standard. And so don't try to get rid of them. Instead, try to just address them and give them up to God.
Ooh, I love that.
Love it.
Well, that's some great advice for anybody, right?
Yep.
Especially for those that are dealing with homosexuality. What other advice? I mean, this is off the cuff. I just thought about this. Is what would be your message to all those that are dealing with homosexuality, that have, you know, been on a similar journey? They're hurting. They're seeking that connection, but don't know how. You know, they're trying to deal with these emotions that they're experiencing, but don't know how. What would be kind of that's a lot, but what would be some things that you would recommend, or what would be your message to them?
So firstly, like we talked about earlier, you are a son of God. You're a son or daughter of God. It goes both genders. And you need to recognize that. And if you can't recognize that in yourself, God will help you with that. So always be willing to pray. That will help more than anything. And as you're counseling with people, you're setting up your team. As long as you are feeling the right emotions, whatever you say, it will be right.
Love that.
So always when talking to people, make sure you yourself are in the right mindset to be doing it for the right reason.
Love that, dude. Colin, you really fire, brother.
Yeah, that's some great advice. Oh, Colin, you're a hero, dude. Do you know that?
Thank you. I try to know that.
Let me do some "you are" statements. Is you not only are you a son of God, you are a hero. You are a powerful, valiant son of God that's doing a great deal of good.
You're a bad man, dude.
We appreciate you being here, man.
Yeah. We want to ask you one more thing, Colin, before we.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Why do you fight, man?
So right now I fight for my friends who I know are dealing with homosexual attraction. They're at the forefront of my mind a lot because I sympathize with them and understand what they're dealing with, as I'm dealing with it myself. I'm fighting for myself right now because I'm in the early stages of recovery. And so in that early stage, I am fighting to become capable of serving others and get to a point where I can be more of an influence and be more helpful. And finally, I fight to be worthy of the temple, the covenants in it, and my future wife and children.
If those aren't reasons to fight, I don't know what are.
Oh, dude. Oh, chills, bro. Colin, thank you again for being here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you will impact so many for good. And I know you already have. And I am one of them. So thank you. And for any of you guys listening to this, you know, man, keep fighting. And if it is, you know, kind of a recovery, I love how you said that. You know, we're always going to have moments where we're going to have to rededicate, reinforce, reassess. Do it. You know, make the choice to just get those next little things down. What am I going to do today? What am I going to do tomorrow? How am I going to get going? And if nothing else, I love what you said there, Colin, is to, and I don't know at what point you said this, but is to include God in finding that identity and saying, God, am I really your son? And ask him and connect with him. And as you do that, man, I think the juice will come back. You'll start fighting again. You'll know who you are. So that's something I felt by listening to you today, Colin. So thank you. Wes, anything else?
You said it all, man. Colin, you're an absolute stallion, dude. Thank you so much for joining us today. And for you guys out there, thank you for being in listener land. Hit us up at podcast@lifechangingservices.org. If you have any questions for us or you want to share your story with us, we'd love to hear it. See you next week.